Buccaneers and Privateers to D&D and Big D, where we put the D in D&D. We're a group of seasoned folks who play through published adventures and review them in a post-mortem. We also invite special guest PCs from other podcasts, content creators, and many other RPG personalities out there. Hi, I'm Kilkenny, your halfling champion gladiator. In this season finale episode, Yethi leads Athrasian, Ezra, and Edie on a pursuit of the Yugoloth who stole the memory of a ship owned by Sultan Klaptikos. Will it be an easy negotiation, or does all hell break loose? Does the crew get the Sultan's ship back? Will Athrasian ever cope with the murder of his best friend, Erkundan, at his own hands? Find out in our exciting season-ending episode of our extended playthrough of Call from the Deep by JVC Perry. This gold bestseller campaign will take adventures from levels 1 through 12 and is available at DM's Guild. Our special guest PC for this episode is the artist known as Amy Liz, the Raptor Queen. She's a cosplayer, makeup artist, a proud nerd, and possibly a dinosaur. Amy has played a vital role in our playthrough, so please give her a follow on Twitter at AmyLiz_W. Now, sharpen your cutlass, plot your course, and drink to the foam as you listen to The Call from the Deep by JVC Perry.
The cat just sat on all of my dice.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember the voices that I had for everybody.
Struggle.
It is, it really is.
Yeah.
And I can't wait to reveal everything. It's going to be fun.
Oh.
Nothing evil. Everyone's going to be cool.
Damn. Actually neutral.
Anyway, so if y'all haven't figured it out, I'm trying to stall a little bit for Dee Dee.
Yeah, no problem.
Dee Dee.
Yeah. Get out of my laboratory.
Some point during the course of this conversation, my cat stole one of my D8s. I saw it happen. I don't know where it went. I have another one, but...
Daisy, what did he do with it?
Don't ask Darby to play. He'll win.
Did you eat it? Oh, there it is.
Darby came in second for Cards Against Humanity. He knows how to kill people.
He sounds like a... So, okay, everybody was walking back up the steps of, was it the coral chamber?
Mm-hmm. Well, not me. I wasn't.
You were being floated up the steps.
You were floating up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, the elemental stretcher there. Okay, and y'all see this coral-handled dagger hit the wall in front of you, Dee Dee. You stop and you look over at this Aldani.
You, here.
What do you want to do?
Well, it's nice to make your acquaintance as well. I motion the others to follow me.
Yes, he follows.
I casually walk over to the table.
And we'll assume that Athrasian is getting pushed by Ezra.
Actually, before I stepped away, did it look like the dagger was deep in the wall or like easy to remove or no?
It's easy to remove.
All right, so I pluck the dagger from the wall, and as I walk over to the table, I have it blade in hand, and I slide it hilt towards him, just like across the table. Very casually, like no indication of like I'm going to throw it or anything. I think you left this somewhere.
I did. I couldn't help overhearing. You're looking for Ornero?
I look over at Yezdi.
You know something?
And he motions over to the both of you, Dee Dee and Yezdi, and he leans over and he motions with his giant claw for y'all to do the same.
Okay.
He looks around. You see his little eyes, his little lobster eyes darting back and forth, making sure nobody's looking. I can find him for you. Do you need him dead or alive?
Alive, right? Alive? It's hard to remember that one sometimes.
Alive with the option of cooking later.
That'll be 1,000 gold.
Yikes.
It seems we have quite a few people that also want a profit from Ornero.
Totally up to you. I can have him delivered later today.
Today. Who's your name, friend?
His eyes darted around again, making sure no one's looking.
Skittering Death.
Nice to meet you. I'm Dirk.
Likewise.
Allow me to parlay with my compatriots, and we'll get back to you in a moment.
I'll be here.
And he leans back in his lobster chair.
Turn towards Yezdi and Ezra and say, well, I'm out of coin, so it's up to you.
Ugh. Oh, man, I got 100 gold. Don't ask me to do anyone favors, though.
I mean, I have a little bit of gold and some of those gems we just got, but I don't know, that's a steep price. We already paid that other guy some pearls.
And Jem will gladly help us.
Oh, wait, I got stuff from Athrasian's purses. As it dumps out all the stuff that she forgot she got off of the unconscious body of Athrasian. Not sure how much Athassian had or what he had, though.
Maybe we can bargain this guy down.
All right, so it looks like we have just enough left between the coin with a couple of gems to get to his 1,000, based on what's left in Athrasian's pouch.
Just sob quietly, Athrasian. Don't worry, just sob quietly. It'll be over soon.
Yezdi, keep your coin. I'll offer up the pouch. Should be 1,000 gold, and have him delivered today. Make it faster for us to get home.
Skittering Death grabs the pouch, and he starts rummaging through it with his obnoxiously large claw. And it rips a little bit, but not too bad. He just, no, that won't do. Throws it back to you across the table.
What do you mean it won't do?
Mm-mm. No, its contents are of no use.
So you require gold, no gems.
Well, you have a Thracian's pouch, right? Did he have gems? I don't remember.
Yes, he did. He had a bunch of gems, too.
And there's a couple of gold pieces in there.
Mm. You motherfucker.
So, the idol is kept in a different location. So, I know that what we handed him, or what he rummaged through, was what was left over, which should have been pretty close to 1,000 gems when you calculate in the cost of the... or 1,000 gold when you calculate in the cost of the gems.
So is that based on your interpretation or my interpretation?
The original interpretation.
Okay, because I only counted a few hundred.
Hmm. Hey, Sultan.
Yes?
How are you in the gold situation?
Well, I have no need for it. That's for sure.
You can't just wish it into existence or anything, huh?
I cannot. I'm not that kind of genie. No.
Hmm. Well then, Skittering Death, I believe we're not going to be able to come to an accord.
Look, what makes this such an expensive deal? Why don't we lower the price and you just tell us where to find him? We'll do all the heavy work.
He starts contemplating what you're saying. The heavy work, you cannot do. Where I go, I can withstand it. You cannot. And he taps his crusty outer layers, like, this keeps me from exploding. You have nothing like this, naturally.
So he's what, real deep? Is that it?
No. It's a matter of plane shifting. You do too much of it in your condition. It's a soft exterior. You won't come back.
I'm not soft.
Then the Sultan looks over and he's like, yep, that is true. Because of plane shifting. You're not careful.
Looks like we waited out then.
Ugh, I suppose so.
Darn it.
Okay. Let's go. So we kind of look to Yezdi. Back upstairs?
Yeah. Sorry, Skitters.
Okay. So then Skittering Death starts to grab his belongings and he just scuttles out of there from the lower entrance. Okay. So after hanging out... Well, let me do this. Let me do this real quick. Athrasian, can you roll Constitution save throw?
Mm-hmm. That's going to be a 23.
Ooh. Okay. You're still unconscious.
You motherfucker!
No, I'm just kidding. You're awake.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to.
That's good, because I was about to slap him again.
Okay, so Athrasian, you're wide awake, and you heard nothing, you seen nothing, you felt nothing.
Where are we?
In the plane of water.
Well, I know that, but like, where? I remember that.
Pretty much the same place that we were before. Have a good nap?
Yes, I did.
Here, your clothes back, by the way.
We're in the mermaid
my
purse.
Clothes. My clothes? Why did you have my clothes? What did you do to me? Why wasn't I awake for this?
It's a story you don't need to know. Know that we're at the mermaid's purse. You remember that?
Yeah.
Yes, that's where I lost everything. My memories, I mean.
I take the platform as we're back upstairs that we were using to carry him on, now that he's up and on his feet, and I find Captain Clipper.
Yeah, he sees you. He's at the bar wiping off the countertop and just chuckling to himself.
I return it to him.
Okay. He takes it and flings it over to a corner where there's like a whole pile of them that apparently are used for all kinds of creatures that pass out or same thing happens to them and they get wheeled out to wherever they come from.
I thank him kindly.
He says you're welcome kindly, I guess.
That's it. Just say, just... I return to our...
Okay. Is there anything y'all want to do or say? Got 3 days worth of kill time.
Oof, that's so many days.
Oh, do we want to find a place to stay or just try to make do?
We are at a place to stay, and if we're not careful, I'm going to end up in the same boat that I got in, because I'm getting more drinks.
No, you're not.
What we're doing is waiting.
And you're not drinking anything other than water.
You can't make me.
Ezra shoves a Thrathian's purse deeper into her bustier.
Do I see this?
No, you don't.
Rolling perception.
I got a 12 for sleight of hand.
Damn you, I got a 4.
Yes! What happens when you drink?
All right, so for the next few rolls, you're going to be rolling at disadvantage.
Why? Hangover?
Oh. Hangover, yeah. Yeah, I gotta do the hangover bit.
Okay. That makes sense.
Yeah. All right, so everybody roll a perception check.
Oh.
Hang on, so wait, am I rolling everything at disadvantage?
Everything.
All right.
Well, I got a 1.
Okay.
I got 9 for perception.
19.
I would have had a nat 20, but it's going to be a 15 instead.
Alrighty. Hang on. Okay, I got to do this in code. Hold on a second. Moving on. So, 3 days pass, and this is enough time for everyone to actually slow down a bit and start thinking about what had happened to Arkundin. Ezra has the scroll, and Didi, you're hearing about the exploits of what had happened, what had transpired, and Athrasian, you're just staying quiet at this point. You're... Because again, as a Yuan-Ti, normally you're very non-expressive with your emotions. Really, because as a Yuan-Ti, you have a lack of emotions. But seeing as how you have a more human side, you're starting to learn what it is to have these emotions and have them out on display. And this time, it's taken you this amount of time to stop, reflect, get yourself out of that rut of like, okay, I know I'm responsible, but I got to make it worth, you know, his life, like everything that comes next. So that way you feel a sense to have a cause, you know, something to reach for. Is that not necessarily to avenge him since you're the one that killed him, but just but just more of, you know, live life to its fullest. You know, no one should die in vain. You know, let's figure out what else is going on. Let's go back and stop all this invasion stuff happening. Find out what's going on with the Sahuagin, what's going on with that strange craft. This has given you that chance to create some kind of goal for yourself beyond living the day by day, adventure by adventure, you know, minute by minute. Does that make sense?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Okay. And with that, nobody else gets drunk. Everyone drinks, but not like passed out drunk. So after 3 days, y'all notice this hydrolith show up. And I need another perception check from everyone.
13.
2.
9. 11.
Okay. And Yezdi, you glance over at Jem, and Jem just gives you a little signal. He wipes his nose, indicating to you that, lo and behold, there's Onero.
Is he, like, here right now? Or is he just indicating to, like, come over?
Oh, no. He's indicating that he's in there right now. You see Onero walking up to the bar and ordering a glass of rum.
Yezdi gestures kind of subtly to everyone else and points.
And he begins to walk down towards the coral chamber.
Well, I guess it's time.
Time for what?
A conversation?
What kind of conversation? And who is this guy?
Not one with you.
Sultan.
Yes?
So, we have Onero here.
Uh-huh.
What else did you need?
So, Sultan Klaptikos's memory of the ship is gone. And so, it's assumed that this guy, Onero, knows exactly where his ship is. And that's what he's trying to do. He's trying to get his ship back.
Okay. And Onero was helping Papadopoulos.
Papadopoulos. Sultana Papadopoulos. Yes.
Okay.
What's the name of the ship?
I don't know. That's what I'm trying to find out.
Okay.
Because he lost his memories.
They got taken from him, yes.
Your move, Yezdi.
Let's go see what he knows. She heads down.
Okay. And I'm assuming everyone else follows
as
well.
Yes.
Yep.
Okay.
Of course. Yeah.
Even though I have no idea what's happening right now, I'm going to follow along.
No, you were awake for all this, so this part you should know what's going on.
It's assumed 3 days, dude. You're going to talk about what's the next course of action.
Yeah.
So everyone's heading downstairs, and you see Onero snaking his way through all the tables down there, and you see the same thing before. You see a few merfolk, all these different types of creatures, and y'all do notice that the table where Skittering Death was at And again, for the past 3 days, y'all noticed that he typically sits at that one table, but only today he's not there. And it's not just him, but nobody is sitting at that table. You're seeing an arrow snaking his way out, and you see the exit door up ahead. And you see him swig back the rum, sets it down on some random table, and he begins walking out the door.
Out the back?
Well, not the back. You got to think of this as like a two-story building. So the top story is like the main story. So like the bottom story, again, it's underwater. People aren't going to go out the back. It's like having two front doors, one on top of the other.
Okay. I'm tracking.
Okay. So he's going out that front door.
Yes, he's going to follow, but not like super close behind. Doesn't want to look threatening.
All right.
Ezra decides to stay behind and just watch her do her work.
I'll move slowly, kind of following Yezdi, but also at a slight distance, so he's not seeing two people right on top of each other. I'm going to try to keep Yezdi in my sights.
Okay.
Athrasion.
Yeah, I'm going to follow Yezdi.
Stay with me.
Okay.
So put out, dude. Okay. Sorry, I'm having too much fun here. So then, Yezdi, you go outside, and the ocean is dark, save for a couple of oversized conches up ahead, sprouted out like bushes, really. You see some corals up ahead, again, just these looking like trees. If you didn't know any better, it kind of looked like SpongeBob SquarePants. Right there, the...
It's kind of what I was picturing.
But in a dimly low light, almost like sundown.
Any sign of an arrow?
Perception check.
Ooh, better this time. 18.
You see some bubbles coming out from behind one of the conches.
Okay. Can I, like, make kind of a half circle around to try to see behind it without getting too close?
Stealth check.
That is another 18.
You move like the wind if the wind was underwater.
She moves as smooth as a current.
There you go. Nice. So moving as smooth as the current, you in fact see Onero ducked behind the conch, waiting. He obviously hasn't seen you.
Huh. Okay. Is he looking in a certain direction? Like, is he waiting for...
Yes, he's looking in the direction of the entrance to the bar.
Okay. Yezdi's going to start slowly approaching. She's going to put her hands sort of up in the air a little bit.
Okay, so are you alerting him to your presence?
Yes.
Okay. So, Yezdi, he sees you, and let's see here. You need to make a wisdom saving throw.
Saving throw, huh? That's a 3.
Haha, not just me anymore.
Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4.
Oh, boy.
5d10.
Okay.
Oh, correction, 4d10. All right. Okay, you take 11 points of psychic damage.
Okay.
And you're hit with Phantasmal Killer.
Okay, what is that?
So, Onero taps into your nightmares. What is the scariest thing that Yezdi has ever faced?
Oh, gosh. I need maybe like a monster manual in front of me.
Well, maybe something that she had to track on her very first hunting excursion when she was learning how to hunt for the first time?
I would say she was hunting something Kraken-like, but smaller. But when she went to hunt it, they were just the young ones, and she did come face-to-face with the big one that she wasn't powerful enough to take down.
And that is what you see right now. And you are frightened, and you quickly move back.
Okay.
All right. Guess what, guys? Let's roll initiative.
Okay.
Am I rolling that at disadvantage, too?
Yep.
It's been 3 days, man. How long does this hangover last?
It's elemental.
80.
18 for Ezra.
18 for Yezdi. It's my lucky number today, except for the last time.
I got a 14.
Okay, Ezra, what'd you get? I'm sorry.
16.
Wow. Okay, Didi, you didn't come through.
21.
Well, damn. Okay. And my man. Ooh. Okay, so it's going to go Didi, Onero, Yezdi, Ezra, and Athrasion. First up is Didi. You have the floor. You just saw Yezdi approach with her hands up and immediately fly backwards.
Dart over to her.
Okay. You dart over to her, and you see Onero behind the conch.
I throw a dart at him.
Okay. Roll it.
24.
Roll again at disadvantage.
All right. So that would be 18.
18 hits.
Or 6 points. Excuse me. Yeah, 6 points. 6 points piercing damage.
Okay, you got his attention.
Is that enough to break his concentration?
Nope. So he swims over to you, and He attacks you with both of his claws. Does a 4 hit?
No.
Does a 9 hit?
Nope.
All right. Oh, hold on a second. Never mind. He rolls at watery advantage with a 7 and an 8, so he misses.
Yep.
Okay, next up is Yezdi.
Okay, first I'm going to cast Hunter's Mark on him, and then I'm going to throw my net at him.
Ooh.
Yeah.
All right.
That is 20 to hit, not natural.
Okay.
Does that hit?
That hits.
Okay, and that is, let's see, get out of my way, D&D Beyond. Okay.
Story of my life.
how much damage is a net? It just like restrains.
It restrains him. It's like grappling.
Okay. Do I get to roll my Hunter's Mark damage on that since it's bludgeoning?
Well, I'll say this, because you are using your net, I think that you have a proficiency with your net that I gave you in the beginning, I think, and that allows you to make an attack with your you have a scythe or a sickle, right?
Yeah.
So you can make attack with that, and I'll give you Hunter's Mark for that.
Okay,
sound good?
Perfect. Yes.
Cool.
So that is 5 plus 2, so 7 damage total.
Okay. You rip through a piece of that just hard shell of his, and you expose a little bit of beef there.
He also has to make a DC 10 strength check to free itself.
On its next turn, right?
Its action, yeah.
Okay.
Has to use his action.
Awesome. Next up is Ezra. Go.
Whew. All right. There's one I haven't used yet. Mind Spike.
All right. Tell us what it does.
All right. You reach into the mind of one creature you can see within range. Target must take a wisdom saving throw, taking 3d8 psychic damage. On a failed save, you also always know the target's location until the spell ends, but only while the two of you are on the same plane of existence. While you have this knowledge, the target can become hidden from you. If it's invisible, it gains no benefit from that condition against you.
Ooh, that's a good one.
Would that be handy?
That would be very
handy. That'd be ideal.
Okay, here we go.
And what's your DC? Your spell save DC?
13.
Okay, it got a very solid 6. So now you roll your D8 3 times. But you can't borrow Amy's because her cat currently has it.
Wow. All right. 5 plus 5, 10. And then 6. 16.
16 of psychic damage. And you are well aware of where this creature is.
Yep.
And
not going to go anywhere.
No. You can feel Onero wince as you creep into his mind and drive that Psylocke mind spike right into his brain area. Okay, next up is Afi.
All right. Well, it doesn't matter. I'm hungover, but I'm going to try anyway. So I'm going to swim up to him, taking out my glaive, and I'm going to try and make this guy look exactly the way I feel.
All right, roll it.
At disadvantage, though. That would have been a nat 20, but we'll see. Okay, it's an unnatural 20. It's a dirty 20. Does that hit?
Yes, it hits.
Okay, so I'm going to do that. Taking out my D2. Oh, right. And of course, I'm going to take advantage of my little super awesome abilities as a fighter. So I'm going to use my Polar Master ability. And my first attack is going to be a 7 plus 2. So he's going to take a total of 11 points of damage from me.
Okay.
Was that slashing damage by any chance?
Yes, it was.
Okay, the net is gone.
Okay.
No, it wasn't.
Oops. So Athrasian's emotions are getting the best of him, and at this point he is angry that, you know, he's no longer a full-fledged Yuan-Ti. He's angry that, you know, his buddy died. He's angry that he's the one that caused it. And so all this emotion is pouring out of him. And to that, yes, he slashes through the net, not caring, and deals quite a bit of damage to Onero, as Onero then, you know, is freed. And with that, Didi, you are up.
All right, so I am going to do two attacks with my rapiers actually using sneak attack because I have another enemy of the target is within 5 feet of it,
mm-hmm.
and the enemy is not incapacitated. I don't have disadvantage on the attack roll, so I also get to add sneak attack damage to one of these two.
Okay.
I'm gonna,
all right, roll it.
And that would be a 22.
That hits.
And 16.
Oh, crap. Does that hit too? Oh, that hits.
Okay. So it would be... All right, so 9 points and 13 points of damage plus another 6 points. So 19 points of damage.
Ooh, okay. You put some hurt on this guy. You found that broken piece that Yezdi exposed, and he took advantage of it. So now that part of his shell starts chipping, and you're able to get in there real good and get him right where it hurts, right in the lobster meat there. All right, next up is Oneiro, who at this point is looking pretty rough. You know, he's definitely wincing and struggling. He's like, well, this is going to be a little bit too much for me. And so then everyone sees him, then everyone sees him not, as he becomes invisible. And Ezra, because you still have your spell on him, your Mind Spike spell.
Mm-hmm.
He turned invisible. You see him clear as day. You know exactly where he is.
Not getting away that easily.
Yezdi, your move.
What is the Sultan doing during all of this?
I'm assuming y'all left him back at the bar.
Well, he's usually in my little pack.
Yeah, he was with her in that pouch.
Yeah, I would take him to talk to Oneiro.
Okay, then in that case, you have him now. I cleared that up pretty quick there.
Has he said anything during all of this?
He's looking on. He's waiting for instructions, like a good genie.
Okay. Before she does anything, Yezdi yells out, and she says, "We just want to talk for a minute." Any reaction? She has advantage on perception checks to find him while she has her hunter's mark up.
Oh, that's right. You do have hunter's mark on him. So yeah, you know exactly where he is, too.
I yell in his direction.
He doesn't say a word. Obviously, it's not his turn now. So at this point, he's staying quiet because he thinks he can't see him.
Okay, she says, "We're going to keep attacking until you just talk to us." He's going to attack with her sickle. First attack is a nat 20.
Oof.
Okay, and so that makes it 10 damage on that one.
All right, so we're going to double that for rolling the 20.
I doubled it already.
Oh.
And then she gets two attacks. So the next one... Okay, the next one's a 2, so never mind that one.
So what was your second attack? Your second attack was with your sickle as well?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, so the first one, you could tell he was about to swim away, and you just brought him back down real quick with that hit.
Good.
Yeah. All right. Next up is Ezra. Right. Nobody else can see him except you and Yezdi at this point.
I don't want to kill him, but kind of twist that dagger in his brain.
Damn. I'm kind of worried about you. And it rolled a 14. What's your DC?
13.
Okay. So roll the 3d8, and he'll only take half that damage. So you still got him with something.
7 plus 6, 13, 5, 18, so 6 damage.
6 total?
Yeah, that's half.
Okay. Alrighty, next up is Thrasian.
Well, for starters, I feel kind of bad about cutting the net, but mainly I just kind of feel bad just because my head is killing me. I'm wondering if, would a health potion cure a hangover?
No.
No? Okay. Well, then I'm just going to hold my turn. There's nothing I can do at this point.
Okay. And top of the order, Didi.
Standing by. So, alright, it's time for an answer. Last chance.
And you see that while you're looking around, you're not sure where to look.
I'm striking at the exact same place that Yezdi had just hit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? She was the last one to go?
Yeah.
All right. Oh, natural 20 and a 14. 19.
Okay. So roll again. Disadvantage.
19 and 18.
Okay. Both of those hit.
All right. And so that's going to be 8. Can I use the sneak attack on this one or no?
Sure.
Okay. So that's going to be 9 plus 7, 16. What's another 7? 23. 23 points of damage.
Okay. Man, y'all relentless and making this dude hurt. Next up is Oneiro, and it makes a motion with its claw-like hands to all of y'all, and it's more of a, like, kiss my ass, or the elemental plane's version of, you know, giving the bird, and then it completely disappears, then reappears 60 feet away, further down the ocean floor there. It just teleported away.
Aw, man. We gotta go chase him, huh?
Next up is Yezdi.
Sultan, what do we do? Do we talk to this guy? If we kill him, how do we find your ship?
Oh, you know what? You make a very good point. And immediately cast Water Jet at it again, and it reaches exactly 60 feet. Each creature in that line must make a DC 16 dexterity saving throw. And it rolled a 4. Onero somehow gets splashed with even more water, and it's just that strong current sends it plummeting down 20 feet even further away, and is now knocked prone, causing... I'm so glad I pulled out all these extra D6s for today. And he wants to talk to Onero, so... Ooh, math. Lots and lots of math. Onero is knocked prone, and the only thing left for the Sultan to do at that point is he takes out two tridents that magically appear in both of his hands, and he looks at Yezdi, gives you a wink, just to make certain, and chucks them for... Wow. One of them hits Onero in the leg, pinning him down, and he's not moving. For... Oh, jeez Louise. Next time, maybe y'all should lead with the Sultan first, because he did some damage. He brought him down to near death. With that, Onero is now pinned down to the sand with a majestically aqua-like trident. Very close to Aquaman, but not really Aquaman-ish. It's even better. Yezzy, what was that?
She's going to approach him as far as she can.
Okay, and Ezra, what were you doing?
Ezra trails to go help catch up to him, since she still knows where he is. He just uses it as a locator.
Okay.
Oh, sorry about that. Hold on.
No worries. So at this point, let's take a little beer break.
And conveniently placed at 201.
Bam.
Right down the middle.
Mm-hmm. It's beer 30 somewhere.
Mm-hmm.
Absolute truth.
So I think there's maybe about 30 minutes worth more of content. And then that's it for season one, y'all.
Nice.
Woohoo! Hey, everybody. This is DM Paul, also known as StuntMonkeyZ on Twitter, with the beer break. All right. So this is going to be the last episode for season one. But we have a lot of one-shots that we recently played through, and we'll be releasing them to gear up for Season 2. We've already released one episode where we were joined by special guest PC Tyler Hewitt of Dum Dums and Dragons. In his Ghost Kicker episode, we did a short interview where he dropped a hell of an announcement about some of the projects that his podcast are currently working on. And like I said, we played through a lot of one-shots with a ton of special guest PCs, so it might be easier for me to give you a list of those special guest PCs instead of what all we played. Papa Fox Tacos, Fjork the Builder, Elise Kretel, Demille from Demille's Wondrous Works, Christian Eichhorn, Andrea Mafia, Diana Superdillon from Femme NPC, Jordan Carmichael from Modified Role Podcast, Brent and Rory from 2DM's Podcast, Jordan Sander from Fate and the Fable Maidens, DM Robulon from Dungeons and Blackguards, and Andrea Coffey. Thank you all very much for coming on our podcast and hanging out with us for a bit, each of you. It was a heck of a time playing through so many one-shots, but it was a lot of fun, had a lot of great memories, and we definitely have to do that again. And you know, I got to mention it. If you ever find yourself in downtown Big D, be sure to stop by Common Ground Games. It's the number one D&D place of Dallas. They have tables running D&D games almost every night of the week. If you want to sign up to play, check out their main Facebook page for more information at Common Ground Game Store. And even check out their website, boardgamesdallas.com. There's even an ongoing Lady Nights group just for women. If you're of the female persuasion and want a no-pressure adventure with like-minded ladies, the Lady Nights are for you. Common Ground Games, because we all have the same common ground of playing games. Lastly, we also want to take the time to thank Amy Liz, the Raptor Queen, for sticking with us for quite a while on this playthrough of Call from the Deep. It was a lot of fun having her around, and can't wait to see what comes up next in Season 2. All right, that's about it for me. Let's get back to the episode and get to the end of this whole shindig.
Disappear for a minute, so I missed the last little bit there.
You didn't miss anything. We paused it for a sec.
Oh, okay.
All right, and we're back from beer break, y'all. I just sipped on some water. I'm good. Okay, so everyone approaches Onero. He immediately phases out of being invisible, and he's just like, fine, Sultan Klotikos, here. And he releases Steal Memory spell that he had put on Klotikos to steal this information. Klotikos immediately remembers.
Yes,
it is the flying squid. Yes, it is my sailing ship. And not only that, but Onero also gives Sultan Klotikos a bit of information that it is on an island scattered with huge skeletons. back in the material plane. And Yezdi, can you make a history check, please?
Will do. That is 15.
The description that he gave, the island scattered with huge skeletons. Being the hunter that you are, you remember the whale bones a few hundred miles west of Waterdeep, whose shores are often scattered with their namesake. And based on that information, you know, Oneiro's on the level. He's definitely not lying. He's absolutely telling the truth.
Okay, she passes that on to the others.
And Sultan Kratikos is like, yes, you know what this is, yes?
I'm pretty sure.
Then we must go. We must go now. Everybody ready?
Ready to get out of here?
Yes.
Yeah.
Let's go.
Oh, everyone, close your eyes once again.
They're closed.
No peeking. No peeking.
Oh, it's so tempting, though.
Right.
I know. I promise nothing.
Okay. So.
No, but I keep my eyes closed. That wasn't an invitation.
Oh, okay. See, I was taking it as an invitation. Do you leave it open for me?
Yeah, but no. You've burned me enough this module already.
All right. All right. So with that, everybody reappears at the precise location that Yezdi remembers, where the whale bones is. But Dee Dee is not around.
Do we keep losing somebody every time?
Oh, no.
Dee Dee had his eyes closed.
Dee Dee did have his eyes closed. You're right.
And no island?
No, that was Jame.
Oh.
Okay, everybody do a perception check.
6.
Am I still hungover?
No, not at this point. You're back in the material plane.
Thank God, that's a nat 20.
19 plus 1, so 20 for perception for Ezra.
Okay, so what would have normally taken a better part of a day would have taken Yezdi 2 days, because with that role, that means she's very careful, very true to the hunt, and very focused. You would have left no stone unturned, or in this case, no bone unturned. Now, with the other two high rolls, what would have taken, on average, a day has now taken a span of like 5 seconds going, oh, is that it over there? And you see this ship. And immediately, Sultan Klaptikos says, yes, that is it. That is a flying squid. That is a flying squid. He starts floating towards it when, Athrasian, you recognize a gang of 8 berserkers. And more importantly, one of those you recognize from the arena. This rather largely human fella built. You see several scars up and down his arms, across his face. And you know the name, Aslog Wayforn.
Aslog Wayforn.
And you recognize him because he too is a gladiator from the arenas.
Okay.
And so, outmanned, outgunned, y'all are seeing the flying squid. What do you want to do?
How far away are those berserkers?
They're about 100 feet away, and you're ducked behind some of the bushes and foliage there. So they obviously don't see you. And you just basically see them hanging out right there on the boat, getting it ship-shape, trying to get it to sail. Really, they haven't been able to get it moving.
All right, slow your roll, Sultan.
But it's right there, ready to pick up. We must go get it now.
Yeah, but one of those people that's over there, his name is Aslog Waveborn. He's a real mean bastard. I remember him from back in the day.
Oh, and you can talk to him, yes? Give me my ship back?
Yeah, go talk to him.
Well, that depends. Did I leave his company on good terms or bad? Do I have to roll that?
Maybe you should talk to him and see how it stands.
roll a history check. Let's find out.
Yeah, let's find out. No! It's a 1.
Oh, no.
That hangover must have really done a damage on your brain.
With a 1, you owe him 1,000 gold.
Oh, motherfucker. Why?
Well, it's a natural 1, dude. I gotta make it worse.
No, I mean, how did I end up owing him 1,000 gold?
Because, you know,
probably
what?
Probably made a really bad bet.
You know, no, here's what happened. You were supposed to take a dive, and he was paying you 1,000 gold. You didn't take the dive, and you whooped his ass. Is that about right?
Yes, that sounds on the money right there. All 1,000 gold of it.
So he's been keeping an eye out for you, not only looking for his 1,000, but also a little bit of extra interest.
Oh, whatever. That is not how the Yonti do things, especially in their fighting pits.
Well, he's not Yonti. He's human.
I know, but you still have to be a slave in a gladiator arena.
Well, obviously he's not a slave in a gladiator arena no more. He's got 7 other guys that he has with him.
So he has no reason to charge interest. That's just fucked up.
Well, you don't know, dude. You don't know what kind of payroll he has. He might pay his guys well. They might have dental and healthcare benefits, dude. You don't know.
Fine.
So how do you want to approach this?
Well,
and mind you, not everyone has all their spell slots either.
I know that.
Making sure. And somebody doesn't have their net because somebody slashed through it, so.
Okay, well, fuck's sake, add insult to injury, so.
I can keep going, but I'll stop.
Yeah, I know you can keep going. I can't, too. So, yeah, we really don't want to mess around with that guy, me in particular.
Talking might be out, huh?
Talking is absolutely going to be out.
Well, are you sure about that? You can always roll in that 20.
I'm not chancing it. We're going to have to do this the quiet way.
Pick them off one by one?
Or I say we just jack the ship entirely. Just skip them.
I like it.
All right. How do y'all want to approach this?
We go the long way.
Long way. I just noticed that in my notes, I have like this list of what might be scrolls. Did you give us scrolls?
Possibly.
Oh, that's right. I have
a
demon.
Yeah, it says 2 Bane, 2 Lesser Demon, 2 Alter Self.
Oh, shit. I need that Alter Self, like, right now.
Right?
I was thinking about casting Minor Illusion to kind of help, but just going to see how this plays out.
Okay, so many options now. My goodness. You know, okay, we'll just pause real quick. You know what? No. Keep going.
Yeah, we have to keep... Okay, hold on. So I'm going to roll a history check. I got to remember any of the people that he's on good terms with from back in the day that I know well enough to be able to play.
Okay, roll it.
Rolling. And that's going to be a 16. Hit me.
No.
All right, what if we watch and if some of these guys wander off just far enough away that they don't know that they're missing, some of us could potentially impersonate them?
I'm leaving that up to y'all. Do not.
I'm not a very good actor.
Perfect, you're it.
No time like the right now to learn.
Yep.
Okay, can I be the strong silent type?
Hey, if you can roll, you know, if you can make the DC for it, absolutely. I'll give it. Do it. Go.
What am I doing? Wait, no one else is doing this?
Nope. You're
oh,
the big.
God. Oh, goodness. So, I'm casting. What am I doing? Wait, what's the plan? Am I just going to lure someone
plan?
Over?
Okay.
Yeah, what You're is turning. The plan? Am I luring one over and then impersonating them? Or am I impersonating them and being like, they're the imposter? Or could I just sit on a rock and pretend I'm a mermaid and then have everyone, like, fall in love with a siren song? Oh, wait, that's not one of my spells. God, I don't know what to
do.
Yeah, that's tempting. That's an option.
Oh, God.
No, that's, you know what? That's perfect. Sexy whalebone mermaid.
Okay, do it.
Doing, oh God.
Roll, let's see, hold on. So you have to cast the scroll, right? You do that, and so now you have to roll a performance check.
Oh, okay. Yeah, no, yeah, okay. Wait, how does the scroll work?
No, the scroll's done. It's like a magical spell. It means it turns you into a mermaid, and you're laying down on a rock with the waves cascading behind you with your hair flowing.
And then performance to...
Lure them away.
Entice them in, yeah. All right, that's a 12 plus 3 for 15 on performance.
All right, and I do the... Hold on, what'd you get? A 15?
15, yeah.
Okay, so their intelligence is a negative 1, and they get a 14. And so each of them is walking over to you. Some of them are head over heels, falling in love, rushing the hell off the ship, gunning for you.
Oh, God.
Yes.
Okay.
How many are there?
There's 8 of them total. Yezdi and Effie, what are you guys doing?
Is there enough cover to, like, approach the ship still being slightly, like, in cover if we stealth?
Ditto.
Yes. I'll let you roll that at advantage because there are whale bones everywhere.
Okay.
Yeah, let's do that.
That is 13.
Let's see. I have a 15.
Okay. And once again, with a negative one, they got a very strong 3.
Yes. You're doing great, Ezra.
Okay.
Sure. I did okay.
All right, Ezra.
Oh, my God.
So chic, so L'Oreal, because you're worth it.
Ezra, give us a little tune that would entice a berserker slash gladiator slash pirate.
Oh, in draconic or common?
Dealer's
in
choice.
Mermaid.
In mermaid.
In mermaid. Oh. About that.
Perfect.
Okay.
I got
just
the audience.
Just put that on loop. I'm not doing anymore.
I'm so totally am. Just wait. Yes, you go.
Pretty good.
That was good.
How far away are we from the berserkers and Ezra now?
Would I say y'all were, what, 100 feet away?
Yeah.
To start? Then that's what you are now, with the berserkers to Ezra, and then y'all are on the ship.
Okay. Okay.
So y'all are on the ship. You're climbing around everything, and it looks like a normal ship. It's just on the beach, and obviously these guys are trying to figure out how to get this off the beach into the water, and they can't seem to do it because they don't know anything about shipping or navigation or anything. And the conch, where Sultan Kleptikos is, it starts bouncing around.
All right, okay. I pop the conch out.
Okay, so you end up letting the Sultan out. He goes apeshit and...
Keep it quiet.
He says, yes, I know exactly what to do. And he bolts down below decks. Yezzy and Athrasian, give me a... You know what, we'll just make it easy. Give me an athletics check or an acrobatics check. Your choice.
Okay.
14.
I got a 16 for athletics.
And Yezzy, is that acrobatics or athletics?
Athletics.
Okay. So both of you feel the flying squid tremble, and it shakes, and it drops. But because y'all had your legs planted fairly well, you don't go prone, and it's like you're on a surfboard, just whoosh, real quick. And the flying squid begins moving out into the ocean on its own power. This is actually powered by a water elemental that he was then able to summon in this gyroscopic adamantine type of engine down below. So it's moving on its own power now. All of the 8 berserkers, including Aslog Waveborn, turn around and they see the ship and they're like, what the hell's going on? And let's see, Ezra, give me a dexterity save throw.
8.
You feel something slipping out of your pocket. This scroll hits the sand, and as soon as it hits the sand, it blows up into a real big spark where this cloud plumes immediately. You're in total shock because there's Erkundin.
What?
Okay.
And that's it for season 1. Thank you, guys.
To be continued.
Dee Dee's gone, and Erkundin's back.
What?
You had me lobotomized for nothing.
For story, bud.
Thanks.
Yeah, it's for story. Don't poke story. Holes in it. It's already like Swiss cheese right now. Just keep go with it.
I mean, I can totally go Titanic, you know. Athrasian sees Erkundin, and for the first time, he feels joy.
That's a rad bromance right there.
Let the bromance commence.
I'll never let go.
Okay, I've been waiting for that one for a while now. Alrighty, everyone okay?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay, let's see, Dee Dee / Erkundin.
Yes.
Any last words for season 1?
Love the story so far. I really like, I'm not really sure exactly where it's going. It has a lot of different twists and turns in it so far, and definitely you threw us a, well, I know I'm seeing a major curveball. I'm sure others are, but, so.
Okay, and Ezra.
I gotta be a mermaid, yay.
That's the important part.
Yes.
Oh, life goals accomplished until then. Well, I really want to keep going on this adventure or something somewhere. I
I think it's a lot of fun. And you guys are a lot of fun. Can't wait to do more.
Awesome. And Athrasian.
I am eagerly looking forward to finding out how this ends, stopping the octopus person guy that we're not quite sure who or what they are or he is. And I am really, really looking forward to getting fixed.
Careful what you wish for when you say fixed.
And Yezdi, you have the final word.
Ah, it's been fun. There's so many twists and turns and like little story bits that I want to see how they all come together. I love the whole like seafaring underwater stuff. It's really unique.
Yes.
Yes.
Well, cool. Thank you all very much, everyone, for sticking with me on this and being patient. And, you know, I know it's been struggles here and there trying to find our group, but I think we're quickly finding it now that we have a focus. You know, I think with all the one shots, we've been kind of scattered a little bit. And this adventure specifically, I think, is very good at bringing us all back together. So thank you.
Awesome.
Agreed.
Thank you for being an awesome DM and for being an awesome group, everyone.
Yeah, thank you for guiding us along.
Thank you for allowing me. I know it's been a bit of a heart attack here and there, but yeah, there'll be plenty more for that, so no worries. Awesome. Everyone, thanks again. And that's it for us now. And thank you.
Awesome.
All right,
everyone. Get y'all later.
Yep. Bye.
Later.
Bye. Yep. Bye, until guys. Next time in season 2.
Dun, dun, dun.
Chances of you coming back?
Yeah, I think so.
Okay.
Yay.
Yeah. Because honestly, I feel like normally we would just have somebody on for one or two sessions, but quite honestly, I feel you're part of the family now.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, you are.
And I don't want to like jump out of the story either. Like I want like some kind of conclusion like for Yezdi and for the story and stuff like that. So I'll definitely be here when I can.
Sure. And honestly, just like James, you know, scenario, somebody will get sneezed out or blinked out or whatever. So we'll make it work. So everyone can just jump in and out. Yeah.
Great.